Welcome back, everyone, to the Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org, or you can just go to the website at remnantofgod.org and click on the Contact Us link on the main page. You can find it on the upper right-hand corner of the website when you get there. If you would like copies of today's program, click the Antique Radios on the main page of the website and surf to the archives from that page. Or you can just simply go to the audio section on the main menu and click the archives link directly from there. You can listen to online past programs, or you can download MP3s or order CDs of the program to share with your friends and loved ones. You can also get copies of this broadcast and others like it on Pastor Sessler's website at lightministries.com. Okay, let's get back to what we were doing right before the break. You were just about ready to... Well, if you can't, can you recap for those that are just tuning in now as to what we discussed in the first half hour?
Sure.
Thanks.
What we were going over was the dream that God had given Nebuchadnezzar recorded there in Daniel chapter 2, and that how Daniel, the king couldn't recall what the dream was. He called all his wise men, astrologers, soothsayers, magicians, etc., in to try and tell him, here's the dream that you had, and here's the interpretation, because they would always interpret the dream after it was told them.
Yeah, they kept saying, could you please let us, tell us what the dream is, and then we'll tell you what it means first. And he didn't know what it was, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were portraying to the king that they could reveal the future to him. They could predict the future.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's what a soothsayer is, a fortune teller.
Kind of like today with the psychics.
Yes, and so the king basically put him on the spot. He says, well, listen, if you can really foretell the future before it happens, then it's a simple thing for you to tell me what my dream was that I had last night.
Yeah.
they couldn't do it.
Nope.
Among the wise men, there was Daniel and his three companions that Babylon had conquered the nation of Israel. And Daniel and his three companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken captive. And since they showed such promise with being in health and their their mental state was very sharp and clear, they were introduced into the leadership of Babylon.
Yeah, and the nice thing about it is the way the scriptures show how it's made very clear one of the reasons that they were not only extremely healthy but wiser, and that is because of what they ate.
Yes, yeah. Daniel chapter 1 brings in the issue that Daniel and his friends did not choose to drink the wine of the king or to eat the meat of the king's table, etc. They chose a vegetarian diet.
Mm-hmm. And for those that believe that there's nothing wrong with drinking wine, for example, Daniel even mentions that it would defile his body. And so people that claim that Christ made real wine, like fermented wine, if you will, at the wedding of Cana, then why is it his prophet would say it would defile him, and yet the Lord makes real wine? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, there's grape juice was called wine.
Yeah, the word wine is like, it's used interchangeably, fermented or unfermented.
Yes. So, in fact, when you go to Genesis, the original diet that God gave to Adam and Eve did not include meat.
None, I know.
It was the fruit of the trees, bearing seed, and the herb of the field.
Yeah, just looking at our teeth alone will tell you that. I mean, we're not carnivores. We weren't created to eat meat.
Okay, so Daniel then decides that he's going to follow God's original diet,
mm-hmm.
And subsist on fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. And because he chose that particular diet, he and his three companions there, when they were tested on their learning ability after a period of time, it was shown that they were 10 times wiser.
And 10 times healthier than the other guys.
And all the astrologers in the realm.
Yeah.
So,
and the only thing that amazes me here is why Nebuchadnezzar didn't call forth Daniel and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When he was looking for someone to decipher his dream, he went to the astrologers.
True.
That's a little confusing to me, but that's just kind of like with today's world. They do the same thing. They always go to God last.
Yeah, that, sadly, that's true. But it also shows the deceiving power that the devil and his agents have over individuals.
Yeah, amen to that.
You know, they portray themselves as being some wise one that's able to predict the future. Well, in reality, God alone can predict the future. He alone knows the end from the beginning.
Amen.
But it also shows that if Daniel and his companions were partaking of a diet that was not beneficial to their health, then God could not have used them in such a mighty way as he did.
No, because they weren't, they weren't within his will. They weren't, you know, they were not, well, just plainly not doing his will. I mean, they were not walking with him.
True. And some, you know, some are doing it because they're ignorant of the fact.
Yeah.
But there's others who do know that a meat diet is less productive of health and energy than a diet of fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a scientific study done not too long ago that compared the physical endurance of individuals that were partaking of a meat diet versus individuals that were completely vegetarian. And they found, you know, they did particular tests, and one test was holding a 5-pound weight with your arms stretched out. So each hand has a 5-pound weight in it, and you hold your arms out, and you see how long you can keep your arms stretched out. Well, you know, they had several individuals in these studies, vegetarians and non-vegetarians. And so they took an average of the amount of time that each class could endure this particular test. And it was shown that the vegetarians could hold their arms outstretched with a 5-pound weight in it about 3 times longer than the meat eaters.
Even in today's world, you know?
Yes, you know, so there is scientific evidence to prove the fact. And, you know, I've heard the argument over and over again that you need the protein that's in meat in order to be healthy.
Well, what about peanuts?
True. I mean, when you look at what a balanced meal is, you have a grain and a bean.
Yeah.
So the burrito is perfect because you got the flour and you got the bean.
Yeah.
But what God is trying to show us is that what we eat affects our body, either mm-hmm. for good or bad.
And I saw a study years ago too as well on the same premise, you know, with the meat eaters and the vegetarians, and it showed how it was an unbelievably drastic difference between the two when it came to strokes, heart attack, cancers, and all these other weird diseases that you see going on in America like we see today.
Yes, that's true. Dealing with the meat, many individuals tell me that you have to have meat in the diet in order to be healthy, in order to gain weight, etc.
Yeah.
But when you look at the animal creation, some of the biggest animals, the most rotund, if you will, like the hippopotamus, they're not meat eaters.
You know what they just found out? I was watching this on a video that I got from Dr. Carl Baugh's creation website.
Yes.
Tyrannosaurus rex was not a meat eater. In fact, none of them were.
I've seen that video. They actually found chlorophyll in the teeth of Tyrannosaurus rex.
Yeah, embedded. They cut the tooth in half. It's embedded. Not only that, the tooth only had a 2-inch root, which means if he bit into the back of another dinosaur, he'd be losing teeth.
Yeah.
So
it shows that if the elephant that's vegetarian, if the hippopotamus that's vegetarian, and we see these creatures are massive in strength and massive in weight, proportion to their particular physique, it's not an argument in favor of having meat in the diet in order to be healthy.
Yeah, it's common sense. I mean, just open the eyes, you know, with that kind of a thing. It is
Daniel and his three companions chose to follow God's original diet of fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. And
amen.
God blessed them immensely. In fact, 10 times better
mm-hmm.
was their intelligence and ability at memory and recall than all the other wise men in the realm of King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
So in Daniel 2, the king asked Daniel if he can give him the dream, and Daniel says, it's not in me, O king, to do so, but God has revealed to me what your dream was and what your dream means, and I'm going to tell you now. So he goes through and tells the king that he saw this immense image that was made up of 4 different kinds of metal.
Mm-hmm.
The head of the image was gold, and that represented Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom of Babylon. The next was silver, an inferior metal to gold, and that we found represented Medo-Persia.
Mm-hmm.
And the next was brass, and that represented Greece, the kingdom of Greece. And then the legs were made up of iron, and that represented Rome.
And then we're just about where we left off last time at the 10 toes.
Yes, and then the feet of the image was a mixture of iron and clay.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, feet have 10 toes.
Yeah.
So as Daniel went through and revealed the various kingdoms that would rule the world, you could see that as iron and brass and silver is inferior to gold, that these succeeding kingdoms were not superior or not greater than Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they were getting less valuable or more inferior as time went on.
I mean, it goes from gold to clay. You know?
And so we found that history reveals that the kingdom of Babylon started about 605 B.C. and then ruled until 539 B.C. when it was conquered by Medo-Persia. And Medo-Persia, of course, would then start at 539 B.C. and ruled until 331 B.C. when it was conquered by Alexander the Great, representing the kingdom of Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And the Greek nation ruled from about 331 B.C. to 168 B.C. when it was conquered by Rome.
And then Rome had it for 644 years. I just calculated it.
Yeah, from about 168 B.C. to 476 A.D.
Yep.
Is what the kingdom of Rome ruled.
And this is one of the reasons they're trying to push forward today in our world, because they look at that as the most powerful, even though it still is inferior to Babylon.
Yes, yes, that's true. That's true. And then Rome was basically conquered by the various barbarian tribes that, you know, Alaric and Genseric and all of those that came in,
mm-hmm.
Attila, and conquered them.
Yeah.
So for more than 500-600 years, Rome seemed unconquerable. You know, she conquered from Britain to Euphrates, from the North Sea to the Sahara there in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Her leaders were worshipped as God, and by her iron fist, she basically made the world one vast prison house.
Mm-hmm.
And when Rome fell, its territory was divided into 10 sections that we know now form the nations of Europe.
Yep.
And as iron and clay are partly strong and partly weak, so it was to be with these 10 nations of Europe, which the feet and 10 toes of the image represented. So as iron and clay will not mix or blend together, so these 10 nations would never be fully united together as a world-dominating power of themselves.
That's why everybody that's tried to do it thus far has been completely unable, even though it looked like they were going to do it.
That's right. Yeah, you know, Charlemagne, Charles V, Louis XIV, Napoleon, and Adolf Hitler all have signally failed in their plans to unite Europe together as one world-governing power. Seven little words of prophecy. They're recorded in Daniel 2:43, has prevented them from doing so and will continue to prevent them. They shall not cleave one to another.
Yeah. Amen.
And so the nations of Europe, by and of themselves, will never unite together into a one world ruling power again.
Even though that's what they're going for, because you can see it now. You got the one world currency there, the euro dollar. You got the one world court system, or the Roman international court system out of Portugal. It's already, and it's more or less controlled by the Vatican. It's even burying the Vatican solar wheel.
Yes, as the world court.
Yeah, as their logo, yeah, the world court. And then the one world church, of course, the URI, the United Religions Initiative, June 26, 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're doing everything they can. Well, John Paul II did everything he can. I mean, when he came into his pontificate, I can't remember if it was 74 or 64 nations were in agreement with the Vatican out of the 192. Now, since his death, he was able to get 174 nations. There's only 18 left.
Wow.
So, and then it's like the prophecy, you know, he'll conquer with peace and all that other stuff. Because, I mean, these other, you know, like Charlemagne and Hitler and all them, they always try to use force and violence to get it done, and the Vatican's done the same thing, but it's kind of like behind closed doors. They're mostly doing it politically or with peace, if you will, what they call peace.
Yeah, but we're told in Revelation 13 that all the world will wonder after the beast.
Yeah, and just from watching what happened when Pope John Paul II died, 3 million people showing up at the Vatican to see his body, and every camera, every television station, every radio, everybody talking about it.
Yes, yeah.
It's amazing.
You know, even the currency in Europe, the ECU, has a picture on it revealing what their plans are.
Yeah, I mean, and that's right out of the prophet of Amos, where he said in the last days, you know, there'll be a famine, not for thirst or food, of course, it'll be for reading the words of God. Because I feel for the Christians, the real Christians that are in the European Union, because when they see their money with a woman riding the beast, they know what they're looking at. But it has to amaze them. They look around and they're trying to tell their loved ones and everybody around them, says, look, it's right here in the Bible what this woman on a beast means.
Yes.
You know, and they just, it's hard for them to try to explain to them. But getting back to those 10 kings,
yes,
or 10 toes, it's also, well, if you see in Revelation 17:12, where it says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Everything is like melding together to where the beast, which we've already defined numerous times on this broadcast to be the Vatican, the house of Antichrist, everything is funneling towards it, like the main hub of all what's going on in the European Union. I mean, even the euro dollar has Pope John Paul's II image on one side and the woman on the beast on the other side. You know, the Vatican minted coins, of course. But the neat thing that I found here on, when you're looking at these 10 toes and you got 10 kings in Revelation 17:12, I got this little article I'd like to read. It's a small little excerpt.
Sure.
It's from 1968. I thought it was 67, but it's the headline reads, Adaptive Model of the Global World System. The Club of Rome had its beginning in April of 1968 when leaders from 10 different countries gathered in Rome. The organization claims to have the solutions for world peace and prosperity. The Club of Rome has been charged with the task of overseeing the regionalization and unification of the entire world. The club's findings and recommendations are published from time to time in special, highly confidential reports, which are sent to power elite to be implemented. So in other words, they're doing this now behind closed doors, and nobody, like the regular mom and pa, don't know what they're doing. You know, like when we see our borders disappearing in the United States of America, like in Mexico and the Canadian borders disappearing, we're thinking it's a national disaster and there's problems going on and our government's slipping. But no, this is what they're designing to do. Because the article finishes out by saying, it says, on September 17th, 1973, the club released one such report, just one, and it was entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. The document reveals that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which it referred to as kingdoms.
Wow.
Just like the prophecy said. And I got a short list here. Well, I got of what their kingdoms, what they're calling them. It's the same setup that Rome did before. We got all these Caesars, you know, like I got Herod in one area, you got Augustus in one area, and you know, where they're worshipped as gods. It's just like with the Pontifex Maximus, that's the official title of the Pope today, is the same title for Caesar, which means man and God, more or less. I mean, because they would worship the Caesars. The region, for example, there's 10 different regions. Region number one, of course, is Canada and the United States. Region number two is the European Union, or Western Europe. Region number three would be Japan. Region number four is Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Israel, and the Pacific Islands. Region number five is Eastern Europe. Region number six is Latin America, Mexico, Central, and South America. Region number seven is North Africa and the Middle East, in other words, just strictly Muslims.
Right.
Region number eight is Central Africa, and region number nine is South and Southeast Asia, and of course, Central Asia is region number 10. And, I mean, the pieces of the puzzle are all in place, with the exception of a few key pieces, of course. Without even being a prophet, you don't have to. I mean, if you just understand basic Bible prophecy, you can now easily predict their next move.
That's true.
You know, I mean, isn't this a wonderful thing to see? Our Lord's prophecy is so accurate.
Yeah, God has not left his people without witness. He's given them prophecy to know where they are in the stream of time and how soon the end will come.
Yeah. Daniel 12 even said that the last day your knowledge will be increased.
Right, that's right. That's all the way back in 68 when you
Yeah.
From that article.
Yeah, it's just like I got a friend that used to be in the military. He was telling me back in 1985, with military exercises that they did while he was in the service, they were planning on attacking in Iraq, and they were, you know, doing things then to figure out how to go from door to door in Iraq.
Yes.
In 1985. So they do things way in advance always.
That's true. That's true. It's, you know, with all of these things taking place, I mean, you go all the way back to the League of Nations there in 1919 and follow it up with the United Nations coming up in the late 40s.
1948, yeah. June 26th, as a matter of fact, the exact same date the United Religions began, and they signed the papers in the same hotel room. Is there any red flags there?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're not just trying to unite the nations together as one in a one-world government, but they're also uniting the religions together as one in a one-world religion.
Yeah.
And they're making sure that the educational process is steering the citizens of the U.S. and the citizens of the world into recognizing that they're citizens of a united body instead of citizens of a particular nation.
Amen.
And it's not just with the educational field, with the world government and religions, but it's also in the economy. They're mm-hmm. trying to get a one-world economy as well. And for those that would like a little more information on this, you can go to our website at lightministries.com under the section called Books, and there's a book there called To Be God of One World. Click on that, and that'll give you a lot more information on that.
Amen. Good book.
But this dream of Daniel 2 is not yet fulfilled, because in verses 34, 35, and 44 that we talked about earlier, it also revealed that in the days of these kingdoms, the God of heaven would set up his everlasting kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this kingdom of righteousness, represented by the rock that struck the image at its feet, or its most weakest point, would continue to grow until the whole earth would be filled, and none of the powers of earth could stop this from taking place.
Amen.
Though many kings and powers have tried to destroy Christ, who represents this rock, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:4, and they have waged warfare against Christ's kingdom of righteous followers, yet none have fully succeeded, and they never will succeed against Christ and his kingdom. Christ and his kingdom will continue to reign supreme.
Amen.
Glory and truth will cover and fill this earth, just like the waters cover the sea, as we're told in Habakkuk 2:14. And all the wicked nations of the earth and all the wicked people of these nations will be ground to powder mm-hmm. when Christ the rock comes again in the clouds of heaven.
Amen.
You know, friends, will you come to Christ today, falling upon this mighty rock and be broken in heart, repenting of all your sins to arise and live a new life, with the chance of having eternal life if faithful to Christ until the end?
Amen.
Or will you remain proud and unrepentant, clinging to your sins until it is forever too late, and instead have this strong rock fall upon you and grind you to powder, losing your chance of eternal life? Dear listener, do you want to be struck by this mighty rock and lost? Or do you want to find shelter in and be hid by this rock, Christ Jesus, and find salvation?
Amen.
The choice is yours.
Absolutely. That is an awesome choice. It's a life-changing choice, too. An eternal life-changing choice.
Yes, indeed. You know, in John 6:37, it says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." You know, our God is an all-wise God who alone knows the end from the beginning. And there is no mistake while you, listener, were born in this day and age and not hundreds of years ago.
Amen.
God has a purpose for you to fulfill, and it starts by giving your life to Jesus Christ and remaining faithful to him forevermore.
Amen. That's an amazing statement when you say, you know, because that comes to me a lot while I'm in prayer about we could have been born 1,000 years ago. We could have been born 100 years ago. But no, the Lord chose for us to be alive in these last days for a reason.
For a reason, exactly.
Amen. Thank you again, brother, for coming and sharing with us this week. And I look forward again to you returning next month. So that's about it for this week, everyone. I pray everyone was blessed by this broadcast. Please try to catch us again next week. And for those that can't, you can always go to remnantofgod.org and click the Antique Radios on the main page. That'll bring you to the archives. You can listen online or download MP3s. You can also go to lightministries.com to get the broadcasts there as well. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry saying, until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian He created you to be. Thank you for listening, and remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.
God bless.